And so now, we find that the law, is it good or bad? What's he saying in Romans? Is it good or bad? Well, God forbid, it's not bad. It's good. For without the law, I had not known sin. Well then, if I'm going to overcome death, how am I going to overcome it? By keeping the law, or by being led of the Spirit. Because if you try to find favor with God by keeping the law, then you stumble over the stumbling block. And now, you've fallen from grace. And how many of us have been guilty of stumbling over the stumbling block and falling from grace? Come on, not like this. Every one of us have fallen in times past from grace. But by the way, our God's a good God and a God of another chance. Praise the Lord for that. So all we have to do is ask for forgiveness covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, not find favor with God by keeping the law, but find favor with God by following the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the heels, the manifested sons of God. The manifested sons of God are led of the Spirit, not led by the law. But it says very clearly, the paideon and the technon and the heels are led of the law. I want to say it again. You've heard the lectures over and over again that the paideon is the babe in Christ, the milk drinker, and the pais, that's the child, and even the teenager, the technon, they're all under the law. So at the moment, we're all under the law. Come on, teenagers. We're under the law. Now it tells you in Romans 14, since you're under the law, when you're with people who can't eat hamburger on Friday, what do? Have fish. Now one other thing I want to get in Romans 14. Romans 14, I think that'll just probably wind it up tonight. It may wind it up and it may open a hole. Let's see what happens. 21, 14, 20. We'll go to 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it's evil for the man who eateth with offense. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. This says, if you have the faith to eat meat, drink wine, miss church, whatever the thing is that's in this list. There's a list of things here. It says, have it to yourself before God. And that means that if you go to an evangelical church where they teach you that drinking wine is sin, now you know what Paul said about it. Not much. For your what? Yeah, all right. So, but if you're in this church, and that's a big thing with you, and you can't drink it, the Bible is very clear that if you're going to follow Paul's advice, and you haven't got any Pepto-Bismol, and you go over there and you get a little, the Bible says, have it to yourself before God. Hast thou faith? Take a little wine. Have it to yourself before God. And when it says have it to yourself before God, it means hide the bottle. Yeah. Have it to yourself. Don't let the preacher know. Because It'll be a what to him? Stumbling block. Now, we're not teaching people to drink wine or miss church or anything like that. But you better not have a deck of cards around. How many have been in those churches? No decks of cards or anything like that. On and on it goes. But that means if you have the faith, hide the debt. Is that all right? You see what I'm driving at? Then the next thing it says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. What that means is, if you got the bottle hidden, and it's round back in the corner, and you start coming into condemnation about it and wondering and worrying, you'd have been better off to never have the bottle. You see it? Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. So then, follow after peace. Follow after the things that make for peace. And if you are in a situation where you do have the freedom, eat flesh, meat, drink wine, go to church on Friday or Saturday or Monday or Wednesday, or whatever the thing is, don't flaunt your freedom in front of the others. Are you hearing it? Now, sometimes we can ignorantly flaunt our freedom, can't we? Let me explain it this way. A few years ago, at a church that I used to attend and was a Bible teacher on, I used to hold my Bible like this, and I'd hold it up and get some of these truths out of the Bible. And the pastor there at the church says, we could never figure out how you could get such truth out of the Bible when you were wearing a ring. Because I didn't realize it, but while I held up the Bible in my hand, were they seeing the Bible? What did they see? They couldn't see the Bible and couldn't hear the truth because I was rubbing my nose in my ring. And honestly, I didn't know it. I was ignorant. When I found it out, then in that environment, rather than to be offensive, what did I do? Well, I removed it so that I wouldn't offend anybody in that place. And then when I go to those places where I think that they might be offended if I wear a ring, what do I do? Well, once in a while I still go with this in, but once in a while I even take that one off if I'm going to be in one of those places where they're wearing, all that kind of stuff. And I get those invitations too. And so I do that. Well, they can tell, obviously, from the wear spots on my fingers if they get close enough. But I'm trying to do the best I can to get along. Is that all right, you see? Trying not to be a stumbling block. But there are times you just can't help it. You don't even know you're ignorantly being a stumbling block. And I was an ignorant stumbling block. But now, at Leo's house, I get to what? I get to put my ring on. Why? Well, here, Leo hasn't passed any laws yet. But pretty soon he's going to have a law. And the law is that the bathroom's down here now instead of the one upstairs. As soon as he gets it all hooked up. And the Bible is very clear. When we're in Leo's house and he says, that's the one we use. Now you know where to form the line, don't you? Right over here, right? Because we're under his rules and laws. But Leo has not made a law against my ring so I can wear it here. Oh, by the way, you can wear fancy glasses here too, even. Or it's also come to my attention, ladies, that you can even pray to God with your haircut here, and he hears. We've also noticed that there were some ladies wearing jewelry a while back that were praying, and they got their prayers answered. Is that all right? You see what I'm driving at? And on it goes. Well, it's easiest for us to find fault with ladies because there are more rules made against ladies because men are in the pulpit. But there are still a few rules that, that we have for the men, and so I'm trying to pick out those rings or whatever it is. But I do want some of you men to notice I'm not wearing a tie, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're holy. We don't wear ties. I'm not trying to make fun. Really, I'm not. But we've all been there, haven't we? If not one of these churches, another. And on the rules go. But when we found that those rules are a stumbling block, now we're not going to be involved in them anymore. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. We'll read from the red letter edition, King James, the one Jesus used. I know it's Jesus because it's in red here. I'm in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God, I want to get this very clearly, shall be taken from you. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Who had the kingdom of God? Israel. Who is he talking to? Verse 23, chief priests and elders. Verse 45, chief priests and Pharisees. And he says, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, he gave them a parable. And in the parable he talked about, verse 33, a certain household that was planted a vineyard and hedged it about. Verse 34, the time the fruit drew near. Verse 35, the husband took his servants and beat one, killed another, stoned another. Verse 36, he sent some more guys, and they did likewise. But last of all, he sent his only begotten son and said, thou reverence my son. Who is he speaking of in this parable? God sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to those who were to take care of that vineyard. And they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And of course, the answers are obvious. They will miserably destroy the wicked man, let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit of their season. He said, that's exactly what's going to happen to you guys. Because you've stumbled over the stone of stumbling, you're still, you see what he's doing, finding favor with God, not by what I say, but what Moses said. So Jesus, finally, at the time of the tabernacles, the end of the year, during the harvest, this is about harvest, took Peter, James, and John apart to a high mountain, and there he was metamorphosed before them. Face and raiment did shine as the sun in strength, and there appeared unto them two others, Moses and Elijah, and talked with them. And Peter said, let's build here three tabernacles, tents, booths, temporary dwelling places, Sukkoth. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But the voice from the more excellent glory said, this is my beloved, did you get that in the panel too? In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And they saw no man save Jesus only. When you have your tabernacle experience, away, that's your graduation, see. Now you learned the schoolmaster, weren't you? Do you hate the schoolmaster? Still love the law? It's righteous, it's good. But now you've graduated from the law, so you're not under Moses, you're not under Elijah. Who are you under? Jesus Christ. And now that we're under Jesus Christ, to many as believed on him, to them gave he power to become Theos, manifested sons of God. Did it say that as many as believed on him, they became Theos of God? They received power to become. Because when they first believed on him, it's very clear, they needed to drink of the milk of the word. They were the partions. Then as they grew up, they were the parties and became children. After that, they had the bar mitzvah and they became teenagers and were apprenticed. Finally, they graduated and became manifested sons of God. And at this manifestation, the Father says, hear ye him. And what that means is that the Father gives you his signet ring. You have his name. You have his power of attorney. For when he says, hear ye him, do you remember about the boy who was the prodigal? Does anybody remember that? And when he came to his senses, he came back to his father. And the father was interested in the salvation of his spirit, soul, and body. What? Watch it. Shoes for his feet. Robe. Kill the fatted calf. Put a what? This was the signet ring. And that meant when he had the father's signet ring, he could sign dad's checks. Sign the master charge in dad's name. And do all his wonderful works in his name. Because he had the power of attorney, he had the name of the father. And that's the reason the boy gives the girl her ring, because he transfers to her his name, his power of attorney, and she can operate, and what she writes, signs, is what he has to stand behind. Come? This is for the tabernacle experience. This is the last experience. This is the experience at the harvest time. We believe we're very close to the harvest time. Now, the reason for the tension, the reason for the upsetness is it's been good being in school. School is good, isn't it? The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to the anointing. And school is secure. We know exactly when we're to be there. We know how long we're going to be. We hear the bell. We know it's time to go. It's a very secure thing. Being led of the Spirit's not so secure. Anybody here been led of the Spirit? How many know it's not secure? Well, you don't have any idea where you're going. What time? You all go when and where. Is that right? It's very insecure being led of the Spirit. It's a whole lot easier to be back in school, isn't it? And when you're back in school, you're under the schoolmaster, and that means you're under the law. So we're not finding fault with schools and schoolmasters and the law. In fact, it's neat and I like it. But that's not my goal. I'm not a professional student. I want to be a manifested son. I don't want to stay in school all my life. I want to be a manifested son of God. You see what I'm driving at? So now we stand as candidates for the manifestation of the sons of God. And how shall we know? When we are led of the Spirit and not of the law. What's your relationship one with another, and please don't put stumbling blocks one for another, because in putting stumbling blocks one from another, how many know what I'm talking about? Putting these stumbling blocks, rules and laws. Leo, don't make any laws, will you? All right, no laws here, except that everybody comes has to wear a butterfly. Fire shirt, but all right. Well, we're joking, but I think you understand what we're talking about. On and on we go about our rules and laws. And you know what? How many of you have ever been to a church where you could tell the people that went there all the time by the way the ladies had their hair fixed? Huh? Have you been there? Or by the clothes they wore? We're playing with butterflies now. But if you've been to those churches where you could tell exactly who was, and I'm not talking about plain churches because that's so obvious. I'm just talking about just, you know, the ones that are down the street. You can tell the people that are standing because they wear a certain kind of a crop cut or something. I don't know, but it's, and you can tell them all, they're all the same. Where's Larry? So we were up there Saturday morning. And we didn't have to guess who those guys were that were walking to the synagogue, did we? Huh? We were out on the street corner, and it was so obvious, and we were 100% right who was going to turn and go in the synagogue and who wasn't. How do we know? By the butterflies. Well, not by their butterflies, but by their hats and by their other uniform of the day. Well, each group sets up a uniform of the day, and we're kind of hoping that butterfly doesn't become a uniform, that everybody feels like that they have to have it, even though it is appropriate. But by the time that you buy your butterfly, you'll be off on some other crazy game. So, you know, if you're just doing that to join the club, forget it. Because there is no club. But the reason that some of us are wearing butterflies is because we're looking for the same metamorphosis that occurred in when Jesus was transfigured before them. The word transfigured is metamorphosis, butterflied. So for those of us who are wearing butterflies, we're saying to ourselves mostly, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be led of the Spirit. I don't want to be bound by the cocoon, by the law, by the commandments, traditions of that thing that at one time was a very valuable part of my life. For without my cocoon, it would have been impossible to turn into a butterfly. But who wants a cocoon when you got wings? Do you see it? So stand with me while we pray for you. Our Father, in Jesus' name, now we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. We look into your word tonight. We pray that this word will be light and life to us, that it be liberty, that whatever I've said will not be taken in any way of condemnation for anything that anybody here is wearing or not wearing, or doing or not doing, or being or not being, or eating or not eating, or whatever it is, Lord. We just pray that each one of us will see the spirit of what we're trying to get across, that none of us can be under rules and laws of selves and think that we're finding favor with you and yet put each other under the same rules. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us really will become manifest sons of God and go all the way with Jesus Christ. We pray for eyes that really see spiritual things and ears that hear spiritual truths and that don't get mixed up. Trust, Lord, that this will be a blessing to every person here, that there be no misunderstanding or no condemnation, but it will be a release. We ask for the love of God to pass through us and be, as we're channels, and we ask that love will just heal all over every sore spot. And now, Lord, we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address and zip code to David E. Ball Bible School, 102.